T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now is a man who's got a massive brain.
Mike Florio.
He used to be a lawyer, then he decided to take his talents to the internet.
NBC Sports.
I'm sorry I'm late. I was talking to Robert Kraft.
Pro Football Talk.
I wouldn't listen to some of those people out there, especially guys like Mike Florio.
Mike Florio with Dan Bernstein and Layla Rahimi on The Score.
Top of the hour is brought to you by Glenview Luxury Imports. The North Shore's newest Alfa Romeo and Maserati dealership has arrived. Visit GLIGlenview.com. They've got it. Dan Bernstein, Layla Rahimi here. Mike Florio is at Pro Football Talk. And boy, what to talk about. I believe, if I remember correctly, Maserati owner himself, Mike Florio, if I'm not mistaken. What's going on, Mike?
Right church, wrong pew. Alfa Romeo.
Alfa Romeo? Okay. I knew it was.
But I'd like to get a Maserati.
Well,
can you get
sure.
me a deal on a Maserati?
Yeah, you know, we'll call somebody over there. We'll get you the hookup. Not that you need it from us. First thoughts about the passing of Gale Sayers.
I just remember being a kid and discovering football and seeing highlights of the Gale Sayers 6-touchdown game against the 49ers from the year I was born. And I was amazed by it. I was fascinated by it. The mud on his pants. I mean, it was hardly a... You know, they're complaining about the turf at MetLife Stadium. I mean, my God, that day, and he still ran through and around everyone. 85-yard punt return for a touchdown, 80-yard catch and run, 4 rushing touchdowns. And it was just always like a larger-than-life myth with Gale Sayers, that he was this player that I kept waiting for the next one, kind of like they're waiting for the next Michael Jordan. I've spent my whole life waiting for the next Gale Sayers. I thought it was going to be Randy Moss. I thought it was going to be Reggie Bush. I'm still waiting for the next Gale Sayers to come to the NFL. So that's that standard. And then you throw Brian's song in on top of it, back in the days when the ABC movie of the week was a huge deal. And I remember seeing that about the relationship between him and Brian Piccolo. It's always made Gale Sayers into a larger-than-life figure. That football, for me, in 50 years of being a football fan, there's never been a Gale Sayers during the time that I've been a fan. I've been waiting for a Gale Sayers for all these years.
Mike, I want to bring up a good question, comment that somebody actually texted in with, and it's talking about, from the 708 area code, the idea of Gale Sayers, if he had actually stayed with the Chiefs, and could the Lombardi Trophy have been called the Hank Stram Trophy when you think about the effects that he could have had if he'd stayed in Kansas City. I thought it was a really good observation because that's how influential he was.
Well, and you consider that first year, 1965, right? That's the first year. Was that the first year? The Super Bowl was 66, but regardless, you put him on a good team, and who knows how impactful that would have been. And, you know, that was kind of that thing with the Bears until they won the Super Bowl in 85. All these great players, but never able to put it all together. All those years with Gale Sayers, with Dick Butkus, with Walter Payton, and then fortunately it finally happened. But yeah, you put there's an alternate universe out there where Gale Sayers is on a different team, a better team, and who knows how history would have unfolded if that had been the case.
Meanwhile, these current Bears are 2-0, and we're just kind of going back and forth, figuring out if they're good or not. We always joke about the Bill Parcells line, you are what your record says you are, and it's fun to say, and it's a thing that sounds perhaps more pithy than it is, but I don't know that they really feel like this is some undefeated team when both of those games against bum teams could so easily have been defeats.
Yeah, I think there's work still to be done, obviously, but the thing about the NFL, wins in September are money in the bank, especially now that there are 7 playoff berths per conference. That extra wild card berth goes a long way and keeps teams relevant. And if you're one of the 11 teams that is currently 2-0, and it's a record to have that many 2-0 teams, you're off to a good start. You've made your deposits. You've gotten your wins. And it also gives a team that is looking for confidence some confidence. And in the NFL, confidence leads to more confidence. And it makes you feel like you have a chance in every game. It makes you feel like you can go to Atlanta and beat the Falcons. It makes you feel like you can hold your own against the Colts. It makes you feel like you can give Tom Brady and company everything they can handle. Now, 2-0 can become 2-3, and it's very easy for the bubble to be burst. But 2-0 is better than the other end of the spectrum at 0-2. Just ask the Vikings and the Lions. But, you know, it's a good start. Are they blowing people out? No. But they're winning games. And I think sometimes it's important to learn how to win close games, to learn how to focus when you need to, how to come back when you need to. Sometimes it can go too easily. That's the best glass half full I can give you. If the games come too easily, you're not ready for a close, tough fight. The Bears, no matter what happens the rest of the way, they're going to be ready for some close, tough fights.
It's funny you mentioned close, tough fights, because that Falcons-Cowboys game, I don't quite know how to describe that still, other than perhaps breakdown. But when you think about Atlanta coming into this game, how much can that result against the Cowboys and giving up that lead the way they did turn into possibly a much more motivated Falcons team?
Well, one of the greatest stats I've seen this year, before Sunday, a team that had 39 or more points and zero turnovers was 440-0. And that goes back to 1933, when they first started keeping turnovers as a stat. Now it's 440-1 because the Falcons had 39 points and zero turnovers. And I think the way they've collapsed, and it's become so much of the Falcons' DNA to blow leads. And I think that they start to sense it, and the opponent starts to sense it. And I think the most damning comment that emerged in the aftermath of that game, when Dan Quinn, the coach of the team, says, "Our players understand the onside kick rule," you know, as they stood there and watched the ball spin 8, 9, 9.5, 9.75, and waited until it got to 10 before they tried to recover it. When the owner comes out and says, "I think they knew it, and I think all you have to do is look," or that they didn't know it. Quinn says they knew it. Blank says they didn't. That's not a ringing endorsement of Quinn, who barely survived last year. Remember, they were 1-7 at the bye, and everybody thought he was done. And they're going to have to do some work this year to save Dan Quinn, because it sounds like Arthur Blank is starting to wonder whether or not he made the right decision bringing him back.
Mike, the NFL has fined a bunch of coaches and teams a lot of money for not wearing masks. What do they have to do to get guys to just wear a damn mask? It's not that hard, and I'm not sure why coaches feel they're so important, or they're seeing their mouth is just so significant that they can flout the rules of common sense and public health.
Well, taking the equivalent of a Maserati, an Alfa Romeo, and a Ferrari out of the pockets of the coach and the team will go a long way towards sending the message, and that was one of the things they wanted to avoid. Coaches thinking it was basically a cost of doing business parking ticket. All right, tell me what the fine is, and I'll write you a check for all 16 games. Now let me go not wear my mask, please. They want to force them to comply. And when you take the money out of the owner's pockets, and even though most of these owners are multi-billionaires, $250,000 is still $250,000, and no one likes to have that evaporate in the blink of an eye. So the owners will be telling the coaches to comply. And the coaches are now on notice. And what surprises me about this, they nailed the five most egregious offenders. But there were plenty of others who were not following the policy to the letter. Plenty of noses not covered by masks. And nothing for those guys. So there's a strange kind of double standard here. And maybe the NFL through week two is just happy to say, hey, if you had it over your mouth, that's good enough. Now, maybe this week, let's try to get it over your nose as well. But it'll be interesting to see how big of an issue the NFL wants this to be, because if there continues to be refusal to comply, the NFL has to continue to whack these guys. And I don't think they like non-football stories to take over the news cycle.
But can we all agree that we had a good laugh seeing the coaches with masks then cover their faces to talk with the play card in addition? Because that made me laugh.
Yeah, you want to make sure there's no chance of reading through the outline of the lips that may be coming through the mask. That's how obsessive they are about. But, you know, that is a practical challenge to communicate effectively into your headset and have it be heard by the quarterback. That's one of the challenges. And there is a philosophical question here, because when the NFL adopted the mask rule for the coaches, the NFL wanted to test players and coaches three times a week. Now that everyone's being tested every day, it is a strange juxtaposition to see all the players running around with no masks and the coaches being expected to wear masks. But as long as it's the rule, thou shalt comply, and we saw how expensive it's going to be for the teams that don't.
There's a wicked spate of injuries this week and so far in the league. From the people you've talked to, how much is there a belief that this is indeed a function of not having a preseason, of having a very different kind of ramp up, and how much is, as usual, is just dumb luck and traumatic injuries that don't really care about anything else?
Yeah, it's just it happens with a different word instead of it, but it rhymes with it. On the front end, it's not soft tissue injuries, you know, the kind of hamstring stuff that you see when guys aren't in shape and then all of a sudden they're being asked to do a lot of things. These are structural injuries, and every once in a while the planets line up. Last year in week two, there were multiple quarterback injuries. Ben Roethlisberger done for the year. Drew Brees done for 6 weeks. Cam Newton done for the year. So it happens from time to time, and it all just happened to hit. It felt like in a 15-minute window of real time where guys were just dropping like flies, but that's what happens. When you cross that line, you know, Christian McCaffrey was trying to thread this really thin needle and saying on one hand, he thinks everything happens for a reason, but then on the other hand, he called it a freak accident. Look, once you cross over onto the field, there's no freak accident. The injury, you just assume the injury is going to happen. It's just a question of when, where, and how. But for most of these guys, they will not allow themselves to think of it. The injuries happen to everyone else. I've lived a charmed life. I've never had a problem. I'm going to continue to avoid this. And they think that right up until the moment they get injured. And then when they get injured, they spend a couple of days trying to convince themselves they're not injured until they finally accept the fact that they're going to need to take some time, build themselves back into shape, and then go out there and assume the risk again of another injury.
Yeah, and it's interesting you bring up Ben Roethlisberger, because I immediately thought of that play that made the rounds to Chase Claypool. What do you think of him so far? And, of course, Bears fans here are keeping a keen eye on him given the drafting situation.
Well, Chase Claypool is a guy that Chris Sims has been hyping nonstop on our show every morning on Peacock. Let me get the plug in, 6 a.m. local time, central time on Peacock every weekday. And he had Notre Dame duties for the past few years, so he's seen Chase Claypool up close, and he was stunned that Claypool lasted as long as he did in the draft, and he has expected that Claypool was going to be good, and a lot of the buzz coming out of Steelers camp from veteran players like Joe Hayden and Eric Ebron, this guy is for real, and we saw it. And fun fact, obscure fact, as put out by the NFL after the game, the 84-yard catch and run by Chase Claypool, the longest touchdown from scrimmage ever for a Canadian-born NFL player. So now you know that.
Ooh. Wow. Before we let you go, Mike, I'm looking at the viewership data. It's we've never had anything like this before. We've never had the confluence of the NBA Conference Finals playoffs and the U.S. Open and these expanded baseball playoffs as they head toward the end of their season. And yet still, this league that that pays for your mortgage and your Alfa Romeo and all of it, this league seems healthy as ever, despite all of the swirling, gaseous cloud of politics around it. Eyes are on this sport, no matter how you want to measure it.
Hey, it pays for my mortgage so well I don't have a mortgage. That's how well it pays the mortgage. Oh, here's the thing.
Not so humble brag. No. I think it's a straight-up brag.
No. You know what it is? It is a deep-seated hatred of owing anyone anything, including money. I don't buy it unless I can buy it. I don't need anyone else's money to buy it, and if I can't afford it, I ain't going to buy it. So anyway, you're right. And the people out there who want to be able to throw darts at the NFL because of the notion, go woke, go broke, that, oh, any dip in the ratings, that's because people are turning off the games because they disagree with the social justice stance. Baloney. The better games are drawing great ratings, and people are going to tune in and watch the NFL. And every year, the audience gets more and more fractured. There are so many options. Cord cutters. I've cut my cord. I thought I would never cut my cord and not have either cable or satellite. It's gone. I'm all streaming all the time. And you watch shows on demand. How much live TV do you even watch other than news and sports? But the one thing that continues to pull a major audience together every week from September through the Super Bowl is pro football. Nothing else gets everyone collected around one thing, because for everything else, you can watch it whenever you want, however you want, wherever you want. But live football is the thing that pulls everyone together, and that's going to endure, and that's going to be the one thing that endures as we get deeper and deeper into this new reality where people don't have cable, people don't have satellite, they've just got bits and pieces of YouTube TV and Disney Plus and Peacock, and I should have said Peacock first, but that's the world we're in, and football still performs incredibly well in that world.
Mike Florio, thank you. We look forward to talking again next week.
Thanks. Take care.
Mike Florio, sponsored by the Berman Auto Group. Visit Berman.com. Back to the basketball story of the day next. The Bulls have hired a coach, and it's a coach with a reputation and a pedigree and 5 years coaching in the NBA that included five playoff appearances and a conference finals appearance as well. They have themselves a good coach. And we're going to find out what Darnell Mayberry thinks. He is set to join us next on The Score.
Oh, damn, we got Billy Donovan as our next coach. I swear, just came out. Yeah. Wow. That'll be good. Billy Donovan was the coach for OKC. He used to coach at Florida. Really good coach.
And as Layla pointed out earlier, that's an excited Zach LaVine. To hear him at that sort of arousal level while he's playing Call of Duty on the Facebook live stream, that was him in real time reacting to the news of his new head coach. And now we are going to get reaction on The Score from Darnell Mayberry, Bulls senior writer for The Athletic. He is on Twitter at Darnell Mayberry. He is on the Alpamonte Ford hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. And there he is on Twitch. Look at this. We got a three box going here as Darnell Mayberry joins us on the video feed at twitch.tv/Chicago670. The Score. Hey, Darnell, how's it going?
Good, Dan. How you guys doing today?
No, we're good. And I'm, again, any day in which Jim Boylan remains fired is a good day in my world. But it gets even better with the news, not just that it is Billy Donovan, but how they got him, how Arturis Karnišovas, in the process of it, decided he wanted him, convinced him to join the Bulls, and sold him on this. Yeah, I think there's a couple of stories that we need to look at here. It isn't just Billy Donovan, his resume, and what he does. It's how swiftly and assuredly the Bulls move to get their guy.
Yeah, and you got to give them credit because he kind of came out of left field. This isn't a hire that anyone kind of envisioned or saw coming. This was an opportunity that presented itself, and the Bulls went out and got it done. And you got to give the ownership group some credit too, because for years they've been had this label of being cheap, spendthrift, and all of a sudden they go out and they pony up for Arturis Karnišovas, pony up for Mark Eversley, and now they get a top-notch coach in Billy Donovan. So good things seem to be in store for the Bulls.
Yeah, Darnell, it's nice to see you. We used to sit next to each other on press row. Nothing has happened
since
then.
It's been a long time, Layla.
The Cleveland game? Yeah, I feel like 20 years has passed. But you mentioned a good point about this, about the process and how Billy Donovan came to be. When you found out that he was not going to be back with Oklahoma City, what did you think the likelihood was that he would be the next head coach of the Bulls?
I didn't give it a very good chance, just because I didn't think the roster was going to be to his liking, or he didn't maybe feel like he was going to be able to come in and win immediately with this team. But so much of that was because of uncertainty over the direction that Arturis Karnišovas and Mark Eversley wanted to go. You know, we don't know if they wanted to rebuild, tear this thing down, start from scratch, or try to see what they have. And now this sends a clear message that they're not interested in a rebuild. They want to retool and try to win as soon as possible.
What do we know about the timeline now of when he's actually going to take the reins, as they're practicing right now in this mini camp? How quickly will he assemble a staff, and what do you think that staff's going to look like?
Well, I don't think he's going to be here anytime soon. It sounds like he's going to miss this little second bubble thing that they've got. So it doesn't sound like he's going to be participating in that. But, you know, I don't know how much that's going to be needed or necessary for him in any way. And, you know, he kind of knows the players. He's coached against them. He's seen them. So, you know, that doesn't really matter as much. I think what does matter is how he's going to fill out this staff. And that's a very good question, Dan, is because, you know, he's never really had an opportunity to go out and get his own guy. So I'm curious to see, now that he presumably has that opportunity, what kind of assistance is he going to want to bring here in Chicago?
Yeah, and Dan has brought this up a couple times on the show today. The list of potential assistants and head coaches was really nice when you think about who people were talking about, whether it's Ime Udoka, whether it was Wes Unseld Jr., but even a guy like Darvin Ham. And Dan, you brought this up. I want to build on it because, Darnell, is there a chance we could see one of those names that has come up as an up-and-comer as a possible assistant here in Chicago?
He's had a lot of guys that he coached with in Oklahoma City for those 5 years, that some have gone off to Phoenix and other places, but, you know, some guys have stayed with him in Oklahoma City. Mo Cheeks is a guy who'd been in Oklahoma City for years. He could be another guy. Chicago guy could come back and follow Billy Donovan here. Brian Keefe, if he doesn't get the head coaching job with the Oklahoma City Thunder, he was a guy who's got a ton of experience. Used to coach Kevin Durant back in the day with the Thunder. So there's certain names out there like that he could bring with him. And I'm also curious to see what he does with the current assistants, the holdovers here in Chicago. You know, we heard a lot about Chris Fleming possibly having a shot at the head coaching job. You know, will he want to keep him on as sort of an offensive mind? So there's a lot of directions he can go. I'm sure he's got a lot of phone calls today from guys curious and interested in joining him and his staff.
The detractors of Billy Donovan point to the early playoff exits and a reputation for not being an intricate tactician and not being an intricate X and O guy of in the middle of a game changing the angle of a screen or looking at specific matchups in a way that some coaches get very granular in that regard. Does that inform the kinds of guys he wants whispering in his ear during games?
I think it has to at this point. After 5 years of doing this at the NBA level, knowing what his blind spots are, what his weaknesses might be, I think he'd be doing himself a disservice. And I think he'd be the first to tell you that he'd be doing himself and the franchise a disservice if he didn't surround himself with some people who could sort of cover his blind spots. But, you know, he's had sort of some unfair hands dealt to him as well. I mean, look at how he's had to readjust on the fly. In each of his 5 seasons in Oklahoma City, he had a different roster that he had to try to retool and come up with a new game plan for. And I think he deserves more credit than he's been given for the job that he did trying to retool those rosters and rework those rosters in his image.
Darnell, you, of course, very, very, very familiar with Oklahoma City and the culture surrounding the Thunder. What do you think of this change of scenery for Donovan and how he could be different here in Chicago based on what we saw previously in Oklahoma City?
Well, he doesn't have the star players and the star power that he had with the Thunder. You know, I think that's going to free him up to actually coach more. You know, when you've got Kevin Durant and Billy Donovan's first year, Durant's last season in Oklahoma City, and then Russell Westbrook for the next 3 seasons, and then Chris Paul in your last season, you know, you can only do so much. You're kind of beholden to what those star players are going to do and how far they're going to take you and their talent. So I think with the Bulls now, he'll be able to kind of take a step back and coach a little bit more and kind of make his imprint more than we probably saw down in Oklahoma City with the Thunder, just based on the sheer talent that he had with that franchise.
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Glenview Luxury Imports. The North Shore's newest Alfa Romeo and Maserati dealership has arrived. Visit gliglenview.com. They've got it. We are talking with Darnell Mayberry here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. What should we know about him as a guy? If everybody who's been around him seems to just love him, that he, even though he's got a little bit of that that New York swag to him, and he is a former player with some degree of, obviously with college success and some time in the NBA, and he's got media polish, he's been described by many. A great talk with Barry Trammell from the Oklahoman, who says he's a guy you would expect to have an ego who doesn't really have one, and it recommends him highly.
Yeah, the one word that comes to mind for me is professional. He just strikes me as a class act, a true professional. You know, there's going to be a lot of there's going to be a big difference in post-game press conferences here in Chicago now. Just going from what we had with Jim Boylan to now Billy Donovan, who actually, you know, gets up there and makes lucid arguments for why he did or did not do something. And I just think that's going to be so refreshing to see when we get in those post-game scrums now, or even the pregame. It's just the class act that Billy Donovan is night and day. And that's not to throw shade on Jim Boylan, but the franchise has talked a lot about alignment, being on one accord. And Billy Donovan is a company man through and through. He's going to come in here and get his message across, but also stay on brand. And I think that's what the Bulls got. In addition to a good quality basketball coach, they got a good company man who's going to be on brand, and they're going to be able to feel good about knowing that he's going to stay on message.
So are you saying that he's going to carry on the duties of preparing the road, so to speak?
With Bulls across his chest proudly.
Oh, God. Stop it. We all have to agree. I know, but we all have to agree to stop it, even though I can't either. You know, I was reading John Greenberg's piece in The Athletic, too, and he's right there with I am. He's like, I shouldn't make these jokes, but I can't help myself from making these jokes. I mean, I could barely keep a straight face right now when you're saying that the post games are going to be different because they're going to make sense. That we're not everything
true.
It's not going to be a clown show every time.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child.
That's the growth plate.
Billy Donovan is not going to come in here and say a goal is to average 35 assists. He's not going to do it.
I can't believe we've reached this point where this is actually what we're talking about. But, you know, I keep saying, Darnell, this is a time to look forward. This is a time to draw a line and say it's reasonable to see the Bulls as an organization in a new place. They really are. And to put that out to the league, to make that statement, we wanted this guy. He wanted us. You should want to be here, too. He didn't want to rebuild in Oklahoma City. It looks like he's not going to have to rebuild in that same way here. I do think, all jokes aside, it is a very, very positive time for the Bulls in doing what they're doing.
It is, and I'm going into my fourth season covering the team. I had optimism in the first three seasons, and they've taken away all of it, completely taken away all of it. But for the first time, it really does feel like this is a turning point and that better days are ahead. But I'm a little scorned, Dan. Like I've been hurt. I've been misled to believe that, you know, better days were ahead before, and they've won 22 games the last two seasons. So, you know, we'll see what they do this year, but they've got some real professionals. I keep using that word. Serious guys who are well-respected. They've got great reputations around the league, and they're serious about their business. I think they've got a plan and a vision.
I can confirm that I saw Darnell, like, definitely lose his optimism throughout the season sitting next to him on press room. I don't want to be that person, but I'm here to back you up on that.
It's true. You were right there with me, Layla.
We were indeed, but we had a good time. And I think in a city that still quotes Mark Trestman, we can absolutely still quote Jim Boylan.
No, we got Bulls across our chest.
Darnell Mayberry, appreciate it as always, man. Thank you very much.
All right, guys. Take care.
That's Darnell Mayberry. You got to see him there on Twitch. He's the Bulls senior writer for The Athletic. Usually we do the midday midway, but we have too much going on to do that. And I thought it'd be a nice time with everything that's going on with so many Gale Sayers memories and thoughts coming in on Twitter, in the Twitch conversation, on the text line, and strong thoughts about the Bulls and this move that they've made. Let's open it up a little bit next segment. 312-644-6767. We can grab some calls ahead of what we expect will be an enlightening conversation with Rick Pitino that's scheduled for 11. Don't go anywhere. Dan Bernstein along with Layla Rahimi on The Score.
Damn, we got Billy Donovan as our next coach. I swear, just came out. Yeah. Wow. That'll be good. Billy Donovan was the coach for OKC. He used to coach at Florida. Really good coach.
And believe it or not, that is an excited Zach LaVine. That's how he sounds when he's excited. The often taciturn Bulls guard was letting it know he's happy that the Bulls have Billy Donovan as their head coach. We're talking about that today. It's Wednesday on The Score from 9 to noon, and that means Layla Rahimi is alongside as we're talking about the stories of the day. The death of Gale Sayers, the hiring of Billy Donovan, all of it. And enjoying every bit of it. We mentioned we'd take some phone calls at 312-644-6767. We also have a little bit of breaking news. And Blackhawks fans will be nodding along as we read this. It's Adam Schefter's Twitter. He says the Chargers team doctor accidentally punctured his own quarterback Tyrod Taylor's lung just before kickoff while trying to administer a pain-killing injection to the quarterback's cracked ribs. League and team sources told him that is that's bad medicine is what that is. Yikes.
That was shocking to read when it came across Twitter just a few minutes ago. That's the kind of stuff you can't be doing. Mistakes happen in medicine, of course, but that shouldn't be one of them.
No, I think Blackhawks fans remember, I want to say it was 96, and I think it was the conference finals when Chris Chelios was dealing with a groin injury. And the Blackhawks physician, who I believe was Dr. Kolb, administered an injection of either xylocaine or cortisone and overdid it, just overcooked the injection. And apparently Chelios' entire right leg was completely useless. And he just couldn't skate. Is that right?
Yeah, it's always good to have your best player miss a playoff game because of a trainer's accident. Good Lord. Yeah, I think it was Novocaine. That they put into his leg, and he couldn't use his leg in the 96 playoffs against the Avalanche. The Avalanche went on to win the Cup that year. So that was fun. Good times. Good times for everybody.
So this is hysterical right now.
So
Black Hawks. On Twitter, Adam Kramer, Kegs and Eggs, a guy, college football guy, just tweeted a GIF of Vincent Vega slamming the epinephrine syringe into the chest of Mia Wallace in Pulp Fiction. And it says San Diego Chargers providing pain meds. Oh, that's too good. That is too good. Oh, my God.
A little bit different situation, though, you know? Just a little.
Yeah, slightly. Let's grab a few calls here because we invited them. First is Pat in Tuscaloosa. Hello, Pat. You're on The Score.
Hello, Dan. Hello, Layla. I was just wondering, because I'm excited about the Bulls head coaching decision, but I'm also kind of cautiously optimistic. I looked at the record for the Thunder last year, and they didn't have as good of expectations as they've had the previous years. And Chris Paul kind of seems like he took that team to another level. So I want to know how much you guys think that the Thunder's success this most recent year, when they didn't have expectations, they didn't have as many stars, whether you thought it was more Billy Donovan or Chris Paul. Roll Dantide.
I haven't watched every game, and that's Darnell Mayberry brought it up that he thinks that when you have star players like that, especially one as headstrong as he should be in Chris Paul, that now he's going to, maybe the attraction of the Bulls job is there's so much space for him to get to coach.
Yeah, and there are a lot of articles talking about how that may have been the best example of Donovan being flexible and adjusting is. That by a lot of accounts, weren't expected to make the playoffs. And in fact, Dan, if you go back to the beginning of the season, the Thunder really didn't warm up until probably December. And then they had a really good road record before they came into Chicago. You know, there were two very competitive games. And it wasn't just the results that unfortunately didn't go in the Bulls' favors each time, but the fact that the Thunder really started to get good on the road, and then they ended up becoming a playoff team. And I think it was largely not just because of Chris Paul, but because of Donovan having to adjust to his personnel in the way they did.
Next up is Fred in Roscoe Village. He's on Sports Radio 670. What's happening, Fred?
Hey, what's up, everyone? I just want to say this is clearly not a perfect hire. I've had a lot of issues with Donovan's after timeout stuff. Durant didn't want to play for him, but as you guys have pointed out, you know, compared to Boylan, this is like hiring John Wooden. My question is, in terms of the draft, to me, what this hiring does is it makes me more confident if they were trying to flip this fourth pick for a veteran presence, an established asset. Someone like Ben Simmons comes to mind, who I think would be a good fit to provide that perimeter defensive presence and replace Otto Porter. Because before this hire, I wouldn't have trusted literally anyone in the league with Jim Boylan. But now that we have this coach in Billy, I think that we can get a veteran. And if you add that to the already existing young core, that could be a very interesting team next year.
I think there's no question, and I don't know what they're going to be targeting, because first of all, before we even get there, Fred, that they've got to figure out what their own guys are. You know, look across the board. Can Wendell Carter Jr. and Lauri Markkanen coexist on the floor together? What position does Zach LaVine play? Is he a star? Does he stop the ball too much? Can you run your offense through him? Is Kobe White a point guard, or is he a second unit scorer like a Lou Williams or a Jamal Crawford? They've got to make all these decisions, let alone then figure out who these veterans are. You know, what do they think of Thaddeus Young? What do they think of Tomas Satoransky? I don't know. That's going to be the fun of it for me, I guess.
Yeah, and I think about Otto Porter, and that's the contract that is the largest. So you have to run through a lot of, like, trade simulations, I think, to figure out what the best fit is for the Bulls there. But we're still waiting to see a healthy Otto Porter for a full season. You know, we keep hearing reports, Adam Silver talking recently about when the NBA is going to return to play as far as after this season concludes. So does that help a guy like Otto Porter? But to me, like, number one, and you hit the nail on the head, Dan, is we got to figure out what's going on with Lauri Markkanen. Like, that to me is my first priority if I'm trying to figure out this Bulls roster, is how is Billy Donovan going to help him?
This segment is brought to you by Burlington. You've been back to Burlington lately. Your store is restocked with unbelievable deals on amazing brands you love. Hurry in today. Amazing values are arriving every single day, whether it's back to school, work, or just back. You'll love Burlington. Burlington, love the deals. Wow, it takes a story like this. Look who this has brought out today. Stan from Bellwood, the OG, is on the score. Hey, Stan.
Hey, Bernie. How are you, my friend?
Good. You hanging in?
I am. I always enjoy listening to you, but I had to call in today. I wanted to pay my respects. It's a sad day for me, and my life is flashing before my eyes. When I got the news that Gail Sayers had passed, I'm a baby boomer, you know that, and so I'm way past you guys' target demo, but growing up. As an adolescent, I had three sports heroes, Ali, Gail Sayers, and Willie Mays. And now two of them are gone. I hadn't thought about this in many years, but I spent many Sunday afternoons as a kid lying across my bed listening to the radio, suffering through Jack Brickhouse, Irv Cupson at Bears broadcast because that their home games weren't televised in those days, mainly because I didn't want to miss Gail Sayers doing something special. I know that Walter Payton probably on balance was a better running back, but no running back of my lifetime ever made me leap out of my chair in excitement the way Gail did. And it really breaks my heart, and it just brings back so many memories. And like I said, my entire life is just flashing before my eyes. I cannot wait to put 2020 in the rearview mirror. It's just been brutal this year. But I just wanted to pay my respects because Gail was one of my heroes. I just did not want to miss anything he did, even if I couldn't watch him. And like I said, I could have been out doing any number of things, during my adolescent years. But I didn't want to miss anything that Gail Sayers might have done on the football field. I was just lying on my bed. And I'm sure that, many people, many Bears fans, of my age group, are probably thinking the same thing right now. But I had to call in because it's a very sad day for me.
Stan, I'm glad you did, and it's good to hear your voice as always, and glad to hear you're doing well. Continue good health, man. Thank you.
You too, my friend. Bye-bye.
longtime score guy. If you've been around the station for the last 30 years, you know the voice of Stan from Bellwood. Comes with some Bears fan authority there. Next up, we're looking forward to having a conversation with Rick Pitino. He knows a thing or two about the Bulls' new head coach. So keep it here. Dan Bernstein with Layla Rahimi alongside. You have the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.